Reform Voices of Torah, Union for Reform Judaism. Shabbat, July 9, 2016. 3 Tammuz, 5776. Parashat Korach, Numbers 16:1 through 18:32. Haftarah, 1 Samuel 11:14 through 12:22. Devar Torah, How Not to Have a Conversation, by Rabbi Joseph A. Skloot. In the song That Lonesome Road, James Taylor wrote, If I had stopped to listen once or twice, if I had closed my mouth and opened my eyes, if I had cooled my head and warmed my heart, I'd not be on this road tonight. Imagine a group of people, 20 or so, who all disagree about a range of issues, political, philosophical, theological, meeting weekly for dinner and conversation. Occasionally there's laughter. Sometimes someone speaks excitedly, passionately. Sometimes someone interrupts. There are moments of discomfort, but never contempt. There are moments of confusion, but not hostility. There are hard questions. There are assertions of, I don't know. There is sometimes silence. How rare are conversations like these today? So often, whether on television and in pews, our conversations about substantive issues are filled with arm-twisting, contempt, and a remarkable lack of curiosity. We confuse conversation with persuasion. We close our ears and stop listening. I recognize the urge to stop listening. I see it in myself. Sometimes, in an election year like this one, it feels as if our country is on a precipice and could easily topple over. When you feel so precarious, it's easy to stop listening and start talking. It's easy to forget how to have a conversation. In these moments, I think back to my college years when I participated in a weekly discussion group for students of different religious traditions and backgrounds. The purpose was to speak openly and honestly about, in the words of our slogan, what matters to us and why. In the course of our conversations, we would sometimes encounter points of agreement, issues and ideas that many of us held dear but heretofore didn't know we shared. Far more interesting, however, were the moments when we encountered points of disagreement and difference. These were sometimes uncomfortable, but it was only in coming face to face with the other that we clarified our thinking, learned to appreciate the uniqueness of our own point of view, and cultivated the humility necessary for living in a world full of disagreements. Conversations like that occur rarely these days, even in synagogues. In the words of the historian and public intellectual Julian E. Zelizer, we no longer seek debate, nor do many shuls even allow it to happen. We are having trouble being tolerant of the other side. The same could be said in the hermetically sealed ideological chambers of American popular culture. We see the consequences of this kind of intellectual narrowness and the absence of civil conversation in this week's parasha, Korach. Korach is one of the great villains of the Torah, the leader of a rebellion against Moses. Our parasha begins with Numbers 16:1 through 3. Now Korach, son of Izhar, son of Kohath, son of Levi, betook himself to rise up against Moses together with 250 Israelites, chieftains of the community, chosen in the assembly, men of repute. They combined against Moses and Aaron and said to them, You have gone too far, for all the community are holy, all of them, and the Eternal is in their midst. Why then do you raise yourselves above the Eternal's congregation? Moses arranges a contest to see who is more favored by God. Aaron and Korach each bring incense to the tent of meeting. Soon God's voice can be heard telling the Israelites to retreat from Korach and his party. In 16:21 we read, Stand back from this community, that I may annihilate them in an instant, God commands. The ground under them burst asunder, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households, all Korach's people, and all their possessions. According to our sages, though, the contest between Korach and Moses is about more than who has superior incense. It is, rather, about how not to have a conversation. In the Midrash, first, Korach challenges Moses about the rules that govern the making of a tallit. If a tallit is entirely blue, is it exempt from having fringes? Moses' answer, of course, is no. But how can a cloak that is entirely composed of blue not be exempt, yet just 4 blue threads in its fringes make it exempt? We can hear the contempt in Korach's voice. Then Korach asks, is a house full of holy books exempt from the commandment to place a mezuzah on its door? Moses' answer, of course, is no. A house with a whole Torah containing 275 sections still needs a mezuzah on its door, a mezuzah containing only a single section? We can hear the hostility. Then Korach goes for the jugular. These rituals were not commanded by God. You made them up all by yourself. And that's what does Korach in. To our sages, Korach's exchange with Moses was marked by a remarkable lack of goodwill. Korach entered the conversation determined to prove his point, determined to disgrace his adversary. He had no intention of having a serious discussion about the philosophy of Jewish ritual. He had no respect for Moses' point of view. Long ago he had stopped listening and started talking, and he didn't stop until the earth opened its mouth and swallowed him up. The story of Korach and his rebellion, as understood by our sages, is thus a parable about how not to have conversations about substantive issues. Korach's sin was not in disagreeing with Moses, but in how he made that point of view known, with contempt. If only we, in this election season, would learn from Korach's unfortunate fate. If only we would, to paraphrase James Taylor, stop to listen once or twice, close our mouths and open our eyes, cool our heads and warm our hearts, so that we aren't swallowed up by our own anger. Rabbi Joseph A. Skloot is assistant rabbi at Washington Hebrew Congregation and a doctoral candidate in history at Columbia University. He is chair of the CCAR's Worship and Practice Committee.